Good morning, everybody. Really good to see you all. Hope you're all feeling really, in some way, touched by God this morning already. Just what a wonderful time of worship, eh? Always is a wonderful time of worship. But just that the awareness of God's presence and hopefully in that, God speaking to us. Because I do feel that God wants to continue with that, exactly that, this morning, and just the things that I've prepared for this morning, I think just align so well with that. So I do hope that we're sitting there, you sitting here, and you're feeling a sense of God wanting to talk to you today. Because I do feel that God always wants to talk to us, but there may be something special that God has for us this morning, just from the prayer meeting and our worship time already. So here's the thing. This is my process this morning. Just building up to preparing the preach. Just mentioned, some of it was mentioned actually in terms of, again, this morning by Brandon, just feeling under the Lord. If there are things that are really weighing heavily on you, lay them down. And not one thing, but just as life is, just a whole lot of things over this period that just impacted me, and I don't think in a good way. But I became not obsessed, but very conscious of the issues in this world that we face. Things, random things that made an impression on me in the last week or so. Just watching a documentary on our earth and how many animals have on the brink of extinction. And just the world, it's falling to pieces. It's fragmented. I look at that and there's something in my heart that just doesn't feel good, that we would have that in our hearts and then haven't stewarded our world so well. And the politics of our day and the infrastructures around us in South Africa, I'm not going to mention because I don't want to mention these things and make them big. But for me, it was an onslaught of constant things being mentioned and then things nearer to home. Personal things, you know, just with people around me, my bursar at school, who I work obviously with every single day, you know, close family member of her that committed suicide, and she had to leave work this week to go and be with her family, and so forth. So I don't know where you are. I do know that the Lord this morning put it on Brandon's heart to say, if you are heavily burdened, God is speaking to you. And I did feel that for this morning, that with all of those things, your personal struggles, I know of many of them. I know of some of the struggles that some of you are facing. And then at that time, one of my readings during the week was very simple, very, very simple thing. And I began to meditate on four words, just four words, explaining or describing our God, ever present. All powerful. Four words. Ever present. All powerful. So I've heard these. You've heard those. This is by way of introduction, by the way. But I began to meditate on those. And I don't do that often. Just allowed the Holy Spirit to break those things down for me. So what does it mean? Ever present. All powerful. Against the background of all of these things that in the world and the stresses that I was also aware of. For me, it was a great thing. It was a wonderful thing to do, to just break it down and have the Holy Spirit tell me what it is in those descriptions of God that were meant for me now at that time. So this morning, I want to do that. I just want to think more of these very simple terms, ever-present, all-powerful descriptions of your God and my God. And it very easily gave me heart. I was able to take heart, and I was able to feel more courage and confident in who I am. And I hope for this morning that is what we all leave this place feeling like that we have taken heart, that God has got something for us in terms of the things that we face at this time. So first of all, let me just briefly then just talk about this ever-present. Let's start with ever-present. Well, ever-present, now don't forget, we're kind of like just meditating on this, making it, breaking it down into little pieces perhaps. If we say ever-present, that means always. If God is ever present, it means he's present always, ever present. This morning was beautiful, a beautiful time of worship. And hopefully we were, but maybe not necessarily, all very much aware of his presence. And it's wonderful, those sweet moments. We'll talk a bit about that. But God is ever present. It means he's even present when I'm feeling really grumpy, which I never am. But God's still there. Were you feeling absolutely without faith? Is it possible that God is present then? He's present this morning as we sung and we knew it. He's present with you when you are grumpy, when you are otherwise, when you feel like you don't have faith, when you feel that you've backslidden a bit. Guess what? God is with you then. His presence is with you then. And that's got some downsides as well. That means that when you've just sworn in the traffic because that guy cut in front of you, unfortunately, God did not nip out of the room and leave you to go and get a glass of water or turn off the hose pipe. Because why? He's ever present. He's ever present in those good times when we're singing and we're aware of him and the music's playing and the worship songs are singing. He's with you in those times as well as those grumpy other times. But it's something that I want us to ponder. I want us to meditate on this morning. Have you ever been in a meeting where everybody else is singing hallelujahs? They're all praising God, raising their hands, and everybody seems to be on a high, and you're sitting there, and you're just not moved like that. You're just not feeling it. You're not feeling it. Or someone was talking about the preach, and they said how beautiful it was and wonderful it was, and you're sitting and you're thinking, I didn't feel that. Can we be vulnerable this morning and say, have we ever been like that? How is it? Then you start thinking, but is it my faith? Have I lost my faith? Have I lost my salvation? Am I not in Christ anymore? Because I didn't feel anything. Guess what? God's presence was there, whether you felt it or not. Whether you felt and I felt God's presence move does not change the fact that God was and will always have been in any meeting, because he is ever present, despite how you and I may feel. I want to distinguish then, having just led with that, just that comment, that there is a difference between God's ever presence, that he's with us, his abiding presence, and our awareness of his presence. They're two different things. As I've just explained, it can easily happen that way. But one of the most beautiful, beautiful passages of Scripture that helps us understand this ever presence is Psalm 139. How many of you have read Psalm 139? How many of you have perhaps read it recently? It is this scripture for me on this subject of God's ever presence, and it is beautiful. And I'd ask you to go and read it sometime soon if this is something that is gripping your heart, even now, as we ponder these things. So I'm going to read a bit of Psalm 139 from verses 1 to 7. Listen to this. This is David, an individual. This is where he is in his understanding. This is before Jesus came to earth, by the way. It's written in the Old Testament. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know me when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. O Lord, you hem me in, behind and before. You've laid your hand on me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Even if I go up to the heavens and I make my bed in the depth, you are there. My friends, is that not an absolutely astounding and a beautiful revelation of our God? And yes, don't forget, this is an individual. Perhaps you're sitting here and you know that God is with his people, or you know that God's presence is with us. But do you know, my friend, as you sit there, ask yourself this. Do you know that that his presence is with you individually? David said, Lord, you search me. You know me, Lord, when I wake up and when I walk there and when I come back again. Lord, you know me, David. My friends, God knows you like this. He knows you individually like this. You say, how is that possible? There's millions and millions of people on earth, but God knows you and you and you. He knows when you get up in the morning, when you go out, when you come back in. Why? Because you are so holy, or I'm so holy? No, because your God loves you that much, that he knows you and his presence never, ever, ever leaves you. And then I love verse 23 and verse 24 of that Psalm 139, where it says, David then says, having said all that, he says, search me, O my God, know my heart, test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. So David says, look, I believe God's saying to us this morning, you know and may know, the penny may be dropping, you may be grappling or getting to better understand how my presence is with you always. I know you so well. But he wants us to get to that place where we then respond to that. And we say, Lord, you're there, but please, I invite you, come, make your presence known to me that I may know it better. Show me, Lord, where I'm not walking in your ways and lead me in the way that I should walk the rest of my life. Isn't that amazing? And this morning, I believe as we sung and we felt the presence of God, God sometimes, in fact, always wants us to respond. And he wants us to respond this morning, I believe, to this knowledge, this understanding of how amazing it is for God's presence to be here. So I trust and pray, Lord, keep moving in our hearts this morning. Let's look at the history quickly, if we can, at the way God's presence is shown throughout his word, from the New Testament, but back in the Old Testament, even in the Old Testament. And I'm not going to speak long about it because time is short. But let's just think about it. Adam and Eve, way back in the beginning of all things, or time as we know it, Adam and Eve walked in the garden with God. His presence was with them right there. Imagine you and I having that kind of privilege where we could walk out of our garden this evening and walk with God in the garden. That was God's presence with them at that stage already. And he spoke personally to Abraham. Abraham, when he promised him he'd be a father of many nations and there'd be many descendants, God's presence was, he spoke personally to Abraham about those things. And so many others, Joshua himself, when he was given that word of take courage and be strong, again, the presence of God was there for him. And he was with God and knew God was talking to him. And lastly, I just mentioned Moses as an example. And I'm going to speak a little bit, just refer to Moses' experience just a little later in this preach. But Moses too. Moses, right in the beginning, when he was hidden away from the bulrushes, again, God intervened personally in his life there and spoke to him personally many, many times. And nothing could explain this more, as I said, than David himself, who was in the Old Testament. New Testament, let's think about his presence in terms of what you and I know about Jesus, what he has done to bring us close to him. Now, since Jesus has come and he's gone to the cross for us and walked on this earth, what does his presence look like now for us? Well, right in the beginning, every one of us that have made a commitment to accept the Lord Jesus as our Lord and Savior, everyone, the Holy Spirit was there to convict you and I of our unrighteousness and of our need for a Savior. Every one of us. There already was the Holy Spirit, even when we were not believers. Because we can't come to faith unless the Holy Spirit convicts us. And then on giving our lives to the Lord, what does it say? Christ now indwells you and I. God's presence is in us, inside each one of us. He lives inside of us. And the Holy Spirit has been given to us as a deposit guaranteeing our salvation. So now we live in an incredibly privileged position. God was with his people in the Old Testament. Now he is where? He's in our hearts. He's that close to us. He lives and dwells in us. And he can do that because he's taken away the barrier between us, which was our sin, and died for our sin, so that he can now live inside you and I. He justifies us. His presence, what does it mean now for us? It means we are now justified. The fact that he's in us means that when he looks at us, when God looks at us, he doesn't see our sin. We've been justified and redeemed now that Christ lives in us and we have confessed him as our Lord and our Savior. Imagine what it was like, though, for the disciples. And we've thought about that a bit, I think, over Easter. We've thought about those events. Having walked with God, who's now present himself in the flesh through Jesus Christ, what happened when he died on the cross? And then they went to the tomb, and Christ and God, who was present with them, is gone. He's gone. He's been taken up to the Father. Can you imagine how they must have been confused? Lord, you're with us. Now you're gone. Where's your presence now, God? But what did he say? What does the word teach us about that? In God's plan, he said, no, it's good actually that I go now and be with the Father, because now I will send to you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will now come, and he will be with you forever. He will be with you and I forever, and he will never leave us. The Holy Spirit will be, and he'll lead you, and he'll do amazing things. His presence in you and I, what he continues to do in us is so beautiful. And what is that? Let's think about that this morning. First of all, he convicts us. Maybe that's not so pleasant, but he does. It says he convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And then he leads us, and he counsels us, and he cares for us. He's the counselor, the paraclete. And he's with every single one of you that has confessed Jesus as Lord. That's who is with you and I now, ever present, always. Just some things that he does, and I'm running out of time to go into all of them. This is the work that he now does after we've given our lives to him. He gives us gifts. We read about them in 1 Corinthians 12. So as you are sitting here, the presence of the Holy Spirit means he has given you gifts that you are to use and I am to use in building up this body of Christ. One beautiful thing, he assures us of our sonship. Who is sitting here this morning? Because we all go through this and we are not convinced, or we forget that God has said to us, we are his sons and his daughters. Think about that. You are the son and daughter of the most holy, living God, who's King of Kings. You are his son and his daughter. But we don't know that sometimes. The way we live our lives is not like sons. Sometimes we live our lives again like slaves, slaves to fear. That's what we were like. Now we are sons and daughters. And the Holy Spirit assures us of our sonship. Romans 8:15. You did not receive a spirit that again makes you a slave to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him, the spirit of sonship, we cry, Abba, Abba, Father. Beautiful work that the Spirit does. And he sanctifies us. Read about that in Philippians 2. Where it simply says, God, who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. God is at work in you and I to will. In other words, to give you the will, the desire to walk in his ways and then to act in those ways. Isn't that beautiful? If you're sitting here thinking, But I sometimes find it difficult to walk in the light. When you are born again, the Holy Spirit is doing this for us. He's continually sanctifying us. He's giving us the will and the power to act in that will for His good purpose. He's changing us so that our way we live our lives mirrors or reflects what we already are. He works in us so that those things we do begin to mirror what we already are. We already are sons and daughters. And slowly and slowly and continually by His ever-presence, Holy Spirit is helping us to make our lives reflect that truth. It's absolutely beautiful. Now, quickly, let me move on to being all-powerful. What does it mean to be all-powerful? Again, all-powerful, point number two. It means that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that is more powerful than Jesus. No situation where the power of God is not applicable. Do we sometimes think, well, I know about God's power, but in this particular situation, I don't see or I forget to even call on God's power. He's all powerful, means that there is nothing that can stand against Him. Just a few scriptures. The Lord sits enthroned, Psalm 29, verse 10. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. And for me, that flood is those hardships, those things that are, this is a disaster. A flood is a disaster. It says the Lord sits, He's enthroned over those disasters. You do have disasters. I have disasters. But the Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as King forever, it says. The Lord gives strength to His people. The Lord blesses His people with peace. So, my friends, in those floods that you and I experience, the all-powerful God who sits above those things, in the middle of those things, as it says here in Psalm 29, He still, in the midst of those, gives strength to His people, you and I, and He blesses His people with peace in the flood, in those hardships. Our all-powerful God does those things. Read 1 Chronicles 29, 2, which again just speaks of his kingdom and how He is exalted as head over all. No ruler, no authority, no situation, no sickness, no plans of man. God is powerful over all of those things. Everything, His head, exalted as head over all. So as I begin to wrap up, isn't that absolutely astounding? That position that we hold, where our God is ever present, always. And who is that God who is ever present? Who is that God who is with us always? He's the one who is all powerful, whom no one can stand against. And whose heart is for you and I, so much so that He died for us so that He could be with us in this way. Isn't that the most amazing thing? And the position that we stand in as those that are born again and who belong to Him. Ever present, because He wants to be ever present, and all powerful is who He is. Absolutely beautiful. So when we are faced with all these realities and the grimness of some situations and your hardships, we need to see those things in the light as there's a song like this, in the light of Jesus. See them as shadows, these things, in the light of Jesus, who's above all of these things. Then just thirdly, the awareness of His presence. So we've said, and I hope it's really just gripping your heart, that He's with us always, and He's powerful, and He's loving. But sometimes we're not aware of His presence. Sometimes we're not aware of His presence, although His presence is there. And we were out on this, and sometimes it's in this ordinary situations that God wants to show His presence. And that's what I also want to just not challenge us, just excite you about. God is not only here. His presence is with us always. And in those ordinary moments of your life, when you and I go back to the office, when we go back to the ordinary things of life, often that's where God wants to speak to us. That's where God wants to show you the extraordinary. Often in those moments, but we're unaware of his presence. So we're not expecting his presence there. Give an example. Exodus 3, verse 1 to 5. And we know the story of the burning bush and Moses. So here was Moses, actually a very ordinary guy at that stage. He was in an exalted place, if you like, in Pharaoh's court as a young man. But he did things and he had to run away because people wanted to kill him. And he ran away. This story is where he's walking in the desert. No longer a leader of people in Pharaoh's eyes, but a leader of sheep. That's what he was. He was leading sheep. That was who Moses was. No great leader. For 40 years, he was walking around in a dry and hot desert leading sheep. No status in that man. And he walks past and he sees a burning bush. And apparently not that uncommon, really, for a bush to be burning in those arid, dry times. Lightning often struck. But he saw the burning bush. And he decided, I am going to turn away and go and look at that burning bush, it says in Exodus 3. So he stopped what he was doing, and he walked towards that burning bush. And in that burning bush, God spoke to him and said, Moses, Moses, called his name. And it says, at some stage, he was so struck by that he hid his face from that. But God spoke to a man in the desert, been walking that same road with those sheep for 40 years. And he spoke to him in that ordinary situation because he had something to say to him. My friends, how many times have you and I been in a situation where we're talking to somebody? Well, I know I have. And God says to me, shush, don't say that thing. I'm about to say something. And he says, don't say that. And I stop. I'm dying to say that thing. But I don't say that thing. And then I get home and I think, Lord, that was you. You told me not to do that. And how many of such incidents happen all the time? My friend, if God is with us always, he's not going to wait until we're sitting here on Sunday to be with us and to say things to us. He's going to speak to us every day. He's going to speak to us when you're cooking your food. Why not? He spoke to Moses in that way. And I challenge myself to be aware always of the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you and I in ordinary situations. I was going to say, we were out ministering in the outreach yesterday, and Molly and Lauren said to me God had given them a picture of a lady that's going to be dressed in a certain way. Am I right? The certain dress. God is saying, you're going to be walking through the mall. You're going to see that dress. You're going to see that lady, and you're going to know in this ordinary mall with these hundreds of people or wherever, that's the lady I told you about. And you're going to go and speak to that lady if you will respond to my dealing with you in an everyday situation. And I know if I was them, and I know they are, they're waiting to see this thing. In an ordinary, everyday situation, God speaks to you and our friends because he's that kind of God. He loves us so much. Can you open your ears? Can I open my ears to the moving and speaking of God, even in the most ordinary of our circumstances? And now I am finishing off. Just to quickly say, why is it then that sometimes we don't hear God? Why don't we hear him in the mall? Why don't we sometimes even hear him, well, anywhere for that matter, since he's ever present? Here's some of the things. That we don't walk in the light. If we're walking in the light, then we're aware of the things of God. Surely we're going to be more sensitive and aware of him. And it's important, my friends. God is our righteousness. We can't win God's favor by being righteous. But it says, for example, in Leviticus 19, verse 2, be holy, because I, your God, am holy. In fact, in Leviticus 20, 26, it says the same thing. It says, be holy because I, your God, am holy, and I have set you apart from the nations. I've set you apart from the nations. So God wants us to walk in holiness, not to win his favor, but because he's holy, we need to be doing what God requires of us to do, and that is be holy and imitate him. Thanksgiving and gratitude. If we're filled with gratitude and thanks, we will find ourselves open to the things of God because we're thanking him and we're aware of him. Regular prayer life, his word, those things build our faith. The more we're in the word, the more we're praying, the more our faith is built, the easier we will hear God when he speaks. And then, my friends, I think one of the most important of all, Psalm 46, verse 10, which says, be still and know that I am God. Can I just say, can I cry out to you and just say, if anything, prioritize this. In the morning, in the evening, if you and I can come and look for intimacy with our God, just opening ourselves up to him, allowing him to speak to us, being intimate with our God will change our lives forever. Just being still. We don't even have to bring a list of prayers. Just being still. Just saying, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Speak to me, Lord. This intimacy with God is an absolutely crucial thing for you and I to begin to be more aware of God in our everyday situations. Sometimes we're stubborn, and God actually even has to discipline us. And even in those things, the discipline of God will make us more aware of him. It says in Hebrews 12:5, and you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes all who he accepts as sons. And our responsibility when he convicts us or speaks to us is not to turn our backs, but to respond to him. Like this morning, if he moved in our hearts this morning, respond to him. Respond. Say, Lord, that was wonderful. I sensed your presence. I respond. Like David, come, Lord, search me. Come into my heart. Respond to the leading of the Holy God. So thank you for listening this morning. I conclude just with this. John 16:33. I have told you these things. This is when he told them that he was going to send the Holy Spirit. He said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And if we read in Exodus 33:15, Moses says, Lord, will you be with me? Will your presence go with me? And then he says, what else will distinguish me and your people from all other people on the face of the earth? But this thing, that the presence of God is with his people. Do we live like that? It's one thing that makes us children of God, that the presence of God is with us, you and I, always. That's one of the definitions of being a Christian. The presence of God, the most powerful God of all, his presence is with you and I always. We just bow our heads just for a minute. Father God, I just thank you, Lord God, for your presence. Lord, I just pray simply this morning. May we live, Lord, as those who have your presence with us always. Lord, help us. I know, Holy Spirit, it is your work in us to change us and mature us. Lord, this morning, if you want to just say this in your heart, please do. Say, Lord, I desire your presence, awareness of your presence. I desire to know that more, Lord, in my everyday life. Holy God, soften my heart, Lord. I respond to you this morning. Your presence is sweet. Your presence is what you want for me. I soften my heart this morning, Lord. Desire your presence, the awareness of your presence, Lord. I thank you for your goodness and your mercy that you would want to presence yourself with me every day. Thank you, Lord Jesus.